Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you get the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a killer striking again to finally have enough evidence to make an arrest. On April 1st, 2011, a young woman disappeared, and though they had a likely suspect, officers had to wait for him to attempt to take another victim to finally have enough for an arrest. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Kenya Monge was born in Honduras on January 26, 1992, as the first child born to a mother, Maria, who at the time of her birth was just 15 years old. When she was just 12 years old, the young girl and her family moved to the largest city in the U.S., where pretty quickly, the charming young girl made fast friends and created quite the life for herself. Years later, now 19 years old, Kenya, like most her age, enjoyed going to clubs and bars with friends and a fake ID in hand, which is exactly what she was doing the night of March 31st, 2011, at the 24K Lounge in downtown Denver, where, according to those who were with her that night, she excused herself to go to the bathroom and never returned. Spotted at a gas station hours later, with it now being the early morning hours of April 1st, when Kenya didn't make it home that night, her family knew something wasn't right. The following day, her friends returned her phone and purse, and when Tony Lee, her stepfather, decided to look at her phone, he saw a message from someone unknown that read, "This is Travis, the person who gave you a lift last night in a white creepy van. Did you reach home safely?" This was enough for them to report Kenya missing with police. But because of her age and the way police handle missing persons cases, the report wasn't officially filed until 72 hours later. When she still failed to come home after that waiting period, officers tracked the message and found out that the Travis who sent the message was a local baker named Travis Forbes. Looking deeper, they found that Travis had, as a teenager, been arrested for breaking into 16 homes and businesses, and among the items stolen were several pairs of women's underwear, with two pairs, the letter M written on them with marker, showing big rips presumably inflicted by Travis himself. In the years that followed, he had a few more run-ins with police, a few more items added to his record, spent 3 years behind bars for burglary, and, according to his own claims, was a drug addict who would steal Demerol from dentist offices. Though he seemed to be getting his life back on track recently, upon reading all of this, police knew that they needed to speak with him about what might have happened that night with Kenya Monge. Coming forward to speak with officers, Travis said that, on the night of her disappearance, he ran into Kenya and offered to give her a lift home. Along the way, she asked the Good Samaritan if he could stop so she could buy some cigarettes. And, obliging, he pulled into the Conoco gas station and watched as she met up with an unknown Asian man and wandered off with him. He said that this was the last time he ever saw the girl and swore he had nothing to do with her disappearance. Police, however, weren't so sure and decided to search his van just in case there was any evidence. As soon as they opened it up, they were hit with the overwhelming smell of bleach and noticed that it looked as though brand new carpeting had recently been added to the van. Between this, the discovery that he was on probation at the time for domestic violence, and the fact that the gas station was actually closed at the time he allegedly got there with Kenya, they asked Travis Forbes to come in for a polygraph test. He refused. Though they had a strong suspicion that he had something to do with the disappearance, there was no evidence to connect him to the crime, and he remained free for the time being. Then, on April 5th, 2011, Monica Poole, the owner of the bakery he worked at selling gluten-free granola bars, came forward and handed officers the CCTV footage from inside of her store. Recorded on April 1st, it showed Travis wheeling a large cooler around the store, large enough to hold the body of a 19-year-old girl. Though they managed to find one single human cell in that cooler, it still wasn't enough to arrest Travis, and once again, he was free to continue on with his life. But while they worked on finding that unidentified Asian male he swore Kenya left with that night, Travis, unable to stop himself, attacked another woman during the 4th of July fireworks celebration in Fort Collins, Colorado. The victim, 30-year-old Lydia Tillman, was sexually assaulted by this man, a stranger, inside of her own apartment. And though savagely beaten and hit with such force that her jaw completely shattered, she managed, covered in the bleach that he poured on her body, to escape her apartment as he lit fire to the room by jumping out of her second-story window. Suffering from a stroke and in a coma for over 5 weeks, when her own father showed up at the hospital, he didn't recognize his daughter. He was only able to identify her by the tattoo on her leg. Because of her remarkable bravery and survival, police were able to take DNA from under her fingernails, and when tested, it led them straight to her attacker, Travis Forbes. He was arrested on July 10th while walking home with another woman near Colorado State University. Now in custody for the vicious attack, Travis claimed that he was, quote, done running, and said he wanted to confess in exchange for not being labeled a sex offender and to avoid the death penalty. Pleading guilty to murder, Travis said that he picked up Kenya in downtown Denver, as previously stated, but said that, intoxicated, she passed out in his van a short while later. Taking the opportunity to sexually assault her, when Kenya woke up and saw what was happening, she began fighting for her life. He strangled her to death during the scuffle, saying, quote, I definitely took advantage of her being drunk. She kind of came to and she realized that we had sex and she started hitting me and I started hitting her back. And then she started to scream and I strangled her. I strangled her. I strangled her. I killed her. He said the whole thing was a mistake and that he didn't plan on taking a human life that night. He then put her in that cooler and drove around with the body for an entire day before burying her in a shallow grave. He led authorities to the grave where they found Kenya's remains, and he was later sentenced to life in prison for first-degree murder with an additional 48 years for the attempted murder of Lydia Tillman. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on April 2nd. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.